Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This is a start to a show. Yeah. This is one of the starts to the show of all time.
Yes.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, I'm Reginald Latitula. That's Figgy Fig. Hope your day is started off okay, considering all of the bodily functions that we have already discussed.
Interesting that our first topic begins with, what is the one crack?
That is technically correct.
That is literally what I put down.
Which Futurama has taught
in
me
our
is,
first
the most, is the best kind of correct.
So go ahead, say it.
What is the one crack you don't want to see in the Astros armor? If I left off armor, I feel like there's probably a lot of cracks that you don't want to see, per se. But yeah, and is it possible that you saw it last night? A 6-4 loss, walk-off fashion. A lot of walk-offs over the last week in Astros baseball.
Two in the last four.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Man, a lot of walk-offs. This one not in the favor of the Astros. Josh Hader, seemingly, I mean, he seemed like he was damn near infallible to this season, and apparently there are, you know, he is actually real. Someone said, is this the drive starting with poop talk? I can't say that for certain, but it did feel
they
like
they do that.
But
a lot.
I see what you did there.
He said doo-doo. All right, enough. We need to be adults.
Yes.
But yeah, man, speaking of, I mean, Josh Hader had acted as a huge adult. I mean, the bullpen in general had been adults coming in and handling up the business that was necessary at any given time. It's one of the strengths of this team. But it feels like in some ways, and I feel like, Lopez, you probably would say this, that, you know, that one felt like, oh, I did not think about the possibility of that happening, much like what Seth happened. And now what does that make you consider moving forward?
Yeah, that, you know, looking at this game, I'm like, all right, I don't want to see that anymore. That's kind of where I was. Like, I don't need to see that anymore. Like, talking about my wife, She's to this day, every time Hader, and he's been nails, like until last night, obviously, but nails. To this day, she still lives in that past of, oh boy, Hader.
You here, know? Here it comes.
Because it's hard to shake that, right? From last year. And so I was watching that and I'm like, okay, it happens. Cool. I don't need to see that anymore. So that's kind of where I got the idea for this. You know, what's the one crack you don't want to see in the Astros armor? Maybe another way to put it is like, all right, I don't want to see that anymore.
Correct.
You know, so things that are happening that we don't need to see. Hader is the one for me, right? The one thing that he's been nails, as I mentioned, it's not something that I even think about. Last night, I didn't even think about it. By the way, I managed to pull it off last night and watch the game. I batted 500 on this series. I watched two to completion, two to not.
Buddy, I mean, that's understandable. 905 starts are rough.
Yeah.
Especially when you got to wake up in the morning. But no, I think Hader is absolutely a big one, and you can extrapolate that further to the pen in general.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
This is what we've talked about, is that your bullpen is going to, especially as you're dealing with the injuries, and that would be my answer, to be completely honest, but
bullpen?
As you're dealing with the injuries, no, not the bullpen.
Oh.
Injuries, but that's more than a crack. That is that is a chasm to some degrees. Like that is the particular Achilles heel of what the Astros are dealing with. But to speak to what you're talking about here, the pen is necessary to get you through, especially when you're getting good starts from your starters, as you have continued to ring out good starts from your starters.
Yeah.
It's necessary for you on the back end to close those out, especially if you're not going to be a team that is going to boat race teams when it comes to getting runs across the plate. You're going to need to bring it on home and finish them out in decently high leverage situations at times.
Yeah.
And if you're having some of these circumstances, you could take winnable games and make them losses, which is something that a team like the Astros feels unfair to say, considering they have been winning, that they are one of the winningest teams
right,
in the
AL. Right, it's just like, I don't need to see that anymore.
But yeah, it's not something that you can afford to be in that place where you're taking potential winnable games and letting them go.
Yeah, and by the way, Okert, 21 pitches. Abreu, 20 pitches. Hader, 21 pitches. Thank goodness that Hunter Brown is going to be on the
Hunter Brown day. God bless.
To that point. But there are other things where I was like, all right, I don't need to see that anymore. Jose Altuve, error. Big error. You know, that's something that we've talked about. And the thing in left field is still fingers crossed, you know, like he's had the fewest chances of, I think it's in the American League. It might be in Major League Baseball. The fewest chances of any regular left fielder. That's just luck. I mean, I guess. I mean, maybe
to some degree,
maybe pitching has something to do with it. But
yeah, I mean, you're dealing with some ground ball pitchers there. But I think also like the way that your stadium is situated, that's also plays into it. And I think it was a calculated risk, for lack of a better term, that you took, like putting him out in left field in this new circumstance, understanding that outfielders are not going to have as much work. Now, of course, I don't think I think the luck portion that you mean is not just that he has less work than if he was an infielder, but he has less work than most outfielders have generally.
But don't you still want to see him more in left field than second base, especially with what happened last night? You know, I think, you know, I don't need to see that anymore. No more Altuve errors. We know why he went to left field, because his defense and other things at second base were just not working, right?
To some degree, yeah. Like, I mean, and just, again, limiting exposure. Mm-hmm. I agreed with that mentality and that thought process. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, if it gets shaky, especially because it felt like they'd found the balance. As I think that could be an underlying kind of conversation about the Astros season in general for the 25 years, is finding the balance, right? Yeah. You know, finding the balance between what your offense is and your pitching and what have you, or finding the balance between the right amount of, you know, timely hitting or what, you know, all of this. But specifically with Altuve, it felt like they'd found the balance of how much does he play left field versus how much does he then move into the middle infield every once in a while and do that for him to be really productive at second in his instances there and productive enough at left field for this to all kind of float in a way that works.
Yeah.
It'd be real problematic if it feels like that balance was offset because you're starting to see the errors flip in, which, to be fair, that balance has been offset because he's played more second base with, you know, having to have the likes of Cooper Hummel playing left field because you're dealing with various different injuries and such.
Another few things that we don't need to see any more of. Not that this is because the Astros are hot and they're playing and they're leading the division and way up there in the American League. But I've mentioned this, and it's more just of a raised eyebrow than panic or whatever you want to call it. I don't need to see second tier starters getting stretched. I've mentioned that a couple of times with you guys. Stretching them that extra inning can be and has proven to be costly. But that speaks to your bullpen question, too, you know?
Yeah, I understand what you mean. I think I do understand, and I do appreciate what Joe Espada is trying to do with these starters. Because, again, especially as it becomes more and more apparent that it feels like you're going to have to lean on them, although we are getting whatever you want to term the news that we get when it comes to pitchers, you know, throwing pitches or what have you, throwing bullpens in Florida or what have you. If you want to view that as positive news, you can. If you want to view that as just news that you will make of what you want to, you can do that as well. But I feel like knowing that you're having to lean on all these guys, you also, you know, when they are going good, take them as far as you can take them, right? Because also all these guys are young enough in this thing to where you're still trying to find what the limits are with them, right? I don't think that you need to, because, again, maybe you could say the limits are, hey, you got five good out of them, that's fine. But how do you ever know if this is a guy that can give you six if you don't give him an opportunity, especially on a day where he is, you know, pitching well? You know what I'm saying? So I'm okay with having a little bit of the stretch. You just have to have the right amount of leash. And it feels like Espada has had a decent amount of understanding that.
He's trying anyway.
Right.
He's trying to figure it out.
When it starts going a little south, I'm not going to wait too long to have the hook. However, I'm going to give these guys an opportunity. And I think that's also something where, to be a player's manager to some degree, you need to be that, right? These pitchers want to get out there and compete.
Sure, but you need to also protect them from themselves. Sometimes,
certainly. But, I mean, we're not talking about running a dude eight innings. We're talking about six instead of five, rather.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's a distinction that feels fair to let this guy go out there. And I think that also helps build more trust and helps these pitchers build a confidence within themselves that the skipper believes that, hey, man, You had five good ones. Mm-hmm. We believe that you can go deeper into the order again, or like deeper into the order again, go back around maybe another time and see what you have, especially on a day where you're pitching well.
Another thing I don't need to see any more of, and my confidence level is low on this, I don't need to see Lance McCullers' injury being worse than it seemed at first, or they said at first.
Yes.
Very low confidence in that.
Yes, I mean, just in general, man. And this is the thing where, I'll circle back to the idea that it's probably not as much a crack in the armor than it is, the fatal mm-hmm. flaw of the armor itself, right? Some mm-hmm. armor has, a potential weakness, and that is the armor of the Astros, which is injuries be kicking him in the keister. Mm-hmm. But I don't need to see this exacerbated.
Yeah.
And I think that's obviously what you're talking about with Lance is just, it gets problematic if you don't have another one of those. I know that you hope that Spencer or Gary's on the way. We got some, as I mentioned, some news with Christian Javier. All those are fine. But it really would suck, especially mm-hmm. with he battled back for literally 3 years.
It'd suck.
It would just it would kind of suck just in general.
Yeah. And then the last thing, and this is more like, all right, that's enough of that. Little mini slumps that we've seen here in the last week, even though the Astros have been winning.
Yeah, I feel like we probably shouldn't have waited this long for this one. Yeah, man. That's really the tough part because again, everything has been about like a level of balance with this Astros.
And mini slumps from players you're expecting stuff
exactly.
from. Yeah.
Like
Altuve, 217 over the last
week. Yeah.
Jeremy Peña, 200 over the last week.
Has it really been 200?
Yes. Christian Walker, which we know he's struggled anyway, 208 over the past week. But that's some of those things like, all right, that's enough of that. Let's get smack back into it, you know?
No, for sure. It does. Those are the types of things that make you look back at mm-hmm. the month of May and go, was this just the really hot month?
Just enough of that. Let's get back to what we were experiencing not too long ago.
Right. And that, look, it is. It's also fair to look at, baseball in general and look up and go, hey, man, it is the marathon, not a sprint. You're not going to run. You're not going to have every single stretch of this be mm-hmm. you on fire and fuego, what have you. But yeah, man, we need to bounce back out of this to where it's like a little bit of a little cold patch as opposed to a slump. I don't need any more slumps, really. Mm-hmm. All things considered, from the 3-4-6, don't want to see the stranded base runners with bases loaded.
Well,
yeah, especially when you don't, no outs or one out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's the opportunistic portion of this that you need. You get guys on, you need to get them over. I heard with Payne and Pendergast, Ocho advocating, as Ocho does, for small ball all the way to the point of bunting.
Yeah.
Like sack bunts. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? Because I'm a proponent of small ball, but I feel like when we start getting to like the actual bunting portion of it, I get a little skittish, which I understand.
How
I think
much
a lot
they
of
work on it.
That's a great question in modern baseball in general. I don't know how much
they work on
teams
it.
Put in on any of that, to be completely honest. But yeah, mm-hmm. man, stranding base runners, especially as a team that is not going to be all that great offensively, mm-hmm. is one of those things that really, really is sickening if you're there. So yeah, no, make sure you get them in, get them on, get them over, but obviously get them in. All right, the Astros still on the road. It's a little bit of their road trip. They're mm-hmm. finally they've gotten out of Sutter Health Park, so they're out of what I'm viewing as like the mm-hmm. twilight zone, the way that the ball flies out of that park or flies around that park. And they head to Orange County.
Yeah, the Angels of Anaheim.
That is correct. That is what it means mm-hmm. if you translate the Spanish portions of it.
Yeah.
A redundant team, and the redundancy is that they keep doing all the things that they do, even though they sign really expensive free agents. Mm-hmm. Three-game set, correct? Against over the weekend, over the Angels, starts tonight. With the man, the myth, the legend, Hunter Brown on the mound, your Cy Young candidate. So hopefully that means that you're in for a good one. Actually, not hopefully. Yeah. I think we can say with all certainty at this point, damn near. I think we're technically all the way through half of the season, mm-hmm. I guess, actually game-wise. Yeah, man, I think we're certain that a Hunter Brown on the mound equals a game that you want to watch. So assuming that you can stay up for it.
Yeah. It's an hour earlier today, I think.
Is it an hour earlier? Well, that God bless. Mm-hmm. God bless, because it's whooping my ass, man. I'm going to be honest. It really is. All right. You're in the loop
you're
now.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah, I have probably 33-year-old telling a man who is maybe twice his age that. That's probably not fair. All right. Coming up next in the loop, why do people keep getting it so damn wrong about CJ Stroud? Let's talk about it now.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com. Next.
Yeah. Happy summer solstice to you. Longest day of the year, baby. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig. It's good to be back. I didn't get to wish you a happy Juneteenth, so I hope you had a happy Juneteenth and enjoyed the day.
Did y'all hear my hot take on Juneteenth?
I did not.
I will stand by this.
Should we hear it?
You know you should.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. I don't like where this is going.
No, it is. I think you'll agree with me.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well, maybe you'll hate it.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking. That's about what I was thinking.
So during confessions, and shout out to Luke Morrow, always does a good job.
For sure.
I said Juneteenth should not be celebrated every year on June 19th. And the reason is, I don't think people get the full effect of a national holiday. It should be a Monday. Even though I get it, you know, June 19th is the day. But you know what? It used to be Washington's birthday, and then they on his actual birthday, and then they changed it to President's Day so we could have a three-day weekend.
I feel like the significance of those two things are probably not at the same level.
Well, how about this? Washington, the first president of the United States?
You really want me to hit the other side of this?
Well,
you want me to hit the other side?
How about
of
MLK
really
Day then?
Okay.
It used to be MLK's birthday.
Sure.
Then they decided to put it on a Monday.
And again, we're talking about the birthday here as opposed to the day in which.
But I'm talking in terms of like.
We actually lived up to our constitutional.
I'm trying to give the holiday more clout. Like it should be on, so you can have a three-day weekend.
I get that part, yeah. But my saying, I guess my defense in this is 4th of July.
Like well, but
they,
see that
they never moved 4th of July.
Somebody else brought that up. 4th of July has become so popular, people take like the entire week off. Like if it falls on a Wednesday, you ain't working Thursday, Friday.
I like what you're doing here. Yeah, I will take the entire week off. Yeah,
well, I am.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
Now, I think eventually.
I know I meant for like for Juneteenth.
I think eventually Juneteenth will probably get that way where.
I really think.
If it fall on a Wednesday, then. We are off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We just take it that whole week.
The date is significant, obviously, but there have been other significant dates that have become more of a Monday holiday, so you can fully appreciate it. You know?
Yeah, okay. it's still early though, man. Yeah. Because it just happened in 2020 where it became officially
national.
Yeah, talk about like a national holiday where everybody is off type thing.
Mm-hmm. I think the particular date is significant here in with Juneteenth. So I mean I hear where you're coming from, and I do appreciate your willingness to try and make sure that we got that 3-day weekend every year, which I think is the impetus of your mm-hmm. thought process. Even though I'm not going to judge you for it, I'd much rather have that the significance.
And it came a long way though, man. Mm-hmm. It came a long way from where it was at one point.
Shout out to Miss Opal Lee. All right, but why do people keep getting it wrong about CJ Stroud? The last couple of days have served as another opportunity for people to show their keisters on this one, and I guess it's the time of year. We're in that time where, you know, as we've talked about, lists become pervasive and you just kind of find little things to talk about. And sometimes even, you know, you'll have people that are usually really good about things kind of end up in the weird space mm-hmm. because they're just trying to find their way into some type of a conversation. And one of those things has been like quarterback lists and talking about, you know, quarterbacks that are going to, you know, what they're going to look like next year. CJ Stroud has ended up in this space and in mm-hmm. this conversation again, where, you know, I've definitely seen, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen it as well, many conversations on Twitter, various conversations in the media as well, discussing the notion of CJ Stroud and his second year and calling it a slump or what have you. And it's kind of amazing that people are still getting this so wrong. At the very least, looking at him and saying, well, does this invalidate where we had previously been? We had talked about, what was the list that we had?
Top 100.
The top 100, Pete Prisco, Pete on Prisco. Wednesday, where, you know, CJ Stroud isn't on there at all, but Jaden Daniels is incredibly high. Yeah. And not to say that I don't think Jaden Daniels was fantastic in year one, but that clear line of demarcation by a significant amount, at least 50 spots is what we were talking about at the very least, dependent on where he actually would have had CJ Stroud if he had continued to rank into like 250 or what have you. It feels like there's so many people that are getting it wrong, and we know that here, and we've been talking about this. Why is it, though, that people keep getting this wrong? Because it feels like it's fairly easy if you are close enough or if you have enough wherewithal to take an opportunity to actually look into it.
Yeah, I think the easy part is simple old narratives like sophomore slump. You know, people kind of use that as a crutch. Oh, he had a good rookie year, and then his second year was not so good, so now we can question whether he's really that good. And I've said repeatedly on here, and I feel like more people, especially Chris Sims, most recently,
yes,
are falling in line with this. I would make the argument that C.J. Stroud was as good last year, if not better than his rookie year, just simply because of what he had to sort of navigate, whether running for his life, the offensive line, some running game problems, some injuries, et cetera. I don't buy into it at all. But the simple narrative, oh, sophomore slump, he must be struggling, let's rank him lower until he proves otherwise, you know?
Yeah, I think that there's, I mean, I guess you can get to that space. I know our guy, Charles McDonald, just did a top 10 list where he had C.J. Stroud 10. Brock Purdy was not on the top 10. Matthew Stafford was not on the top 10. And I'm like, he's from a national perspective, and he's capable of looking at this and seeing, one, that the offensive line clearly wasn't in the right place. Two, that the run game was, you know, maybe not as good as it should have been, especially because it was being really manufactured by a singular entity. And there's not necessarily enough consideration for what the offense in general as a schematic perspective was nationally.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I do wonder, though, how much of this do you think is simply because you had the Texans did not show up very well in nationally televised, you know, island games. And so people, and we know this, a national perspective is going to be developed on, you know, these games where people are actually watching you and people aren't always capable of seeing the Texans on their TVs unless they have like Sunday ticket and they're actively watching it. Because even if you're watching Red Zone, are you getting that feel for what C.J. Stroud is and what he is dealing with all the way through a game? And also, Red Zone is not going to show you, last year is not going to show you the C.J. Stroud, him doing good things, because his good things are very nuanced within plays that maybe didn't look incredible.
Yeah.
That would be one of those ones that you would cut to on the TV.
I think they tie together. You know, what I mentioned, the narrative, and that narrative is amplified on those island games, as you call them. Was it the Lions game where the second half was just a bleep show? Wasn't that it?
Yeah.
That's a lot of eyes on you, you know, and taking sacks that are not your fault. Sometimes people still blame the quarterback a lot. Oh, he took so many, this sack or that sack or whatever. I think they all tie together. That was one that came to mind. But yeah, a lot of times so many eyes on the game and he struggles and they struggle and they blow a big lead as they did in that game. All of a sudden it becomes a reflection of him.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of fascinated that we got so many people still kind of off on this. I mean, Chicago early on, and I guess that's early on in the season as the season went on. One of the tough things also is people aren't contextualizing the ways in which, yes, he started making some poor decisions in the back half of the season, but I think people aren't considering how much that was him having to try and overcompensate and him trying to put more on his shoulders in order to get this Texans team somewhere because he understood at that point in the season, hey, man, I got to try and make something shake even if there isn't something there. I guess pursuant to my kind of thought of like the Island games, I started looking at it because we know the Texans have four major games that at least you can point to that people are going to be watching, right? You got week two versus Tampa. You've got week seven at Seattle, which is on a Monday night. You've got your Thursday night game against Buffalo week 12. And then you've got Kansas City, a Sunday night game in week 14. Just looking at those four games without really knowing the fullness of what this is, without going through camp, how do you think, assuming that that's the framework that people will then have to try and use to combat the narratives that are building about C.J. Stroud, how do you think he comes out looking with those games? I mean, the Bucs at home, and then going to Seattle against the Seahawks, a defense that Mike McDonald has kind of put together. And then you talk about Buffalo and Kansas City, two of the best teams in the AFC.
Yeah, I think the key thing with those nationally televised games is the Tampa and Seattle, the very winnable games, in my view, among those, are early, or at least early enough, where if he does do something, all of a sudden the national narrative, you know how it works. You have a really good game on national TV early in the season. Hey, he's having a great year. Then you back it up with Seattle. You know, what week is that? That's week seven on a Monday night. It's like, wow, well, you know, 7 weeks in, C.J. Stroud has got these two big wins on national TV, and the Texans maybe are, 5-2 or whatever. All of a sudden becomes the narrative for the whole year. And so I think that's very impactful and very important.
So start it off early. Make sure you set the tone. And then because people don't
it's
like changing.
It's just the way it works.
People don't like changing their ideas.
It's not right, but that's just the way it works. People, people build a narrative, a story about someone, and they carry it through. I was just talking in the first segment about, you know, my wife still gets nervous about Josh Hader. Well, that's been a year, you know, but it's just in your mind, you know.
832 said they think that CJ's emotional breakdown is what they're calling it is driving a lot of it. Obviously week, what week was that when you played Kansas City or not Kansas City? Cause Kansas City was the, Kansas City is where you had Tank Dell. That was week 16 where you played Kansas City and Tank Dell gets hurt and CJ Stroud allows his emotions to flow in that moment. Do you have any, do you think at all that that is what's factoring in? Cause I don't think I've seen enough people like, you know, screenshot the ESPN very raw basic counting stats and go, hey, look how CJ Stroud isn't good, and it's not necessarily within the context of the emotion.
I think it's a factor. I think it's absolutely a factor. I don't know how big a factor, but I think it is.
And then from the 713, can we agree he missed more throws and took unnecessary shots? Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the context of it is necessary. And I guess maybe that's it. People are not going to be willing to look beyond skin deep on some of these things, and I guess in order for that to display itself, he's going to need to, and this offense is going to need to ball out in a way that's undeniable for him to demonstrate that.
Yeah.
Well, remains to be seen what happens there. But there you go. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it is indeed the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. You have the most sunlight. Hope that you're making the most of it. But question of the day, with that being the case, what's the indicator that you're going to have a long day in a different way? 713-572-4610, whether it's something that happens, something you do, something that someone says, what's the indicator that you're about to have a long day? Let's talk about it next. This song sure does sound like summer now, doesn't it? Happy summer solstice to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Most sunlight of a day of the year, 2025, is today. Hope that you enjoy it some way, somehow. So it's going to be a long day, and I hope that it's a long day in a good way. However, sometimes you have a long day in a bad way. What is the indicator for you? How do you know it's going to be a long day today?
Oh, there are indicators.
713-572-4610. Text it in. Let's talk about it. Lopez, I know for you, you've lived some life. You've had some long days in your day. What are the indicators for you that, oh man, this one's gonna be a long
one? I'm not gonna go the whole airport route. That's low hanging fruit. Everybody knows it's a long day when you hear slight delay. We'll be working on this.
You get into your Astros bag. Especially nowadays.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Back in the day, it was just like, all right, a delay. All right, maybe we don't miss 15 minutes. That first delay is an indicator of really bad things nowadays at the airport.
So mine is, you know, you get up, usually it's on the weekend, and a lot of times I'll catch up on all my OG sauce and podcast work on Saturdays, you know, because, you know, it's just a good day to be able to dig in on that. But sometimes I, you know, I'm free. It's all caught up. When I hear my wife say, hey, what do you have today?
That is beautiful. That's that is gonna be excellent work.
That's going to be a long day.
Would you like it more if she just said, hey, you're doing this as opposed to asking? Because I know for me personally, that would make me mad.
Yeah.
You know what the answer you're going to give me is. So whatever I say is irrelevant. I hate questions that people ask you where they don't actually care about what you're about to say.
Yeah. What do you got going on today? I start thinking of things and making up stuff.
Although I will say, does Jan, like if you actually do have something to do.
Yes, she's good about it.
Okay.
Yeah, right. No, because she knows my Saturdays and sometimes Sundays are, you know, filled with that other stuff I like to do. And so that's a tough one right there. Boy, the text board is coming through.
Yeah, 832 is right there with you. when you wake up, your wife immediately hits you with the honey-do list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're right, though. To that, I'd rather have that.
Just be like, hey, this needs to be done.
You got to do this, yeah. this, and this. This guy's having a long day. 832's having a long day today. He says, I'm moving. I've lost my keys, and I can't find the spares.
Dog. You could have stopped at I'm moving. Moving is a long that's day a long every day. Time.
Yeah. It's never a quick move.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
even if it is a quick move, you know what's on the other side of that? Unpacking.
Yeah.
Like it's a long
day. There's no way around it.
Every single time.
Yeah.
No way around it.
No way around it. And sometimes long days are just little things that aren't normally indicators. Like sometimes I'll have a day. I think about 4 or 5 months ago I came in. I was like, it's a bad start to the day. I didn't have coffee. Got into some traffic, you know, maybe, oh, I spilled my cereal. That was the day. I spilled my cereal.
Which, again, your fault. That's entirely, you created the long day for yourself.
What about this, Lopez? I think you might have did this a couple times where you forgot your lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Forgetting your lunch hurts.
That's going to be a long
day. That's a long day.
Forgetting your lunch hurts. Although, I guess you can also change, depending on like what your work is and what kind of wiggle room you have. If that just becomes, well, I'm going to go get some food, then it might not be that long of a day. But if it's just, I'm not going to eat for a period of time, that's a long day.
But sometimes it could be a mental thing, too, where you just forgot something.
That's what I'm saying. Like little things that you don't normally associate.
It's not necessarily you're going to starve to death or anything, but just forgetting something that you supposed to have.
It's going
to
be a long day.
Like, man.
281 says, I know today is going to be a long day because my wife just,
started that time,
started that time.
Started Shark Week.
And women hate that. We talk about that. Accurate.
That was the opinions of John P. Lopez.
Accurate.
Anything that he says does not reflect Figgy Fig and Reginald Attitude or the entirety of the In the
Why
Loop.
Why are you nodding your head?
Who? Where? I just scratched my nose. Somebody said when you go out to your car and there's one of the following: broken window, flat tire, dead battery.
Nope. Yep. Yep.
That's definitely. Yep, that is a very Houston occurrence too. Mm-hmm. You go out to that car, you're like, ah, damn. Oh man, here we or. You go out to where your car used to be.
Yeah.
And it is not there. That's all right.
Just car trouble, period.
Yes.
Especially if you driving and you have car trouble driving where you have to pull over. It's like, it's about to be a long day because now I got to wait 2 hours for a tow truck.
Particularly here. Because it's also, even if it's like, all right.
It's hot.
Yeah.
You got to wait 2 hours for a tow truck.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's wrong with the car. You got to figure out where to get the car towed.
And you can't get nowhere.
How much is it to get fixed?
Yep.
How am I going to get to work tomorrow?
Your mind starts spinning.
Oh, man.
Like, you can't get nowhere in Houston without a car. Like, obviously, we have a robust bus system. And if people utilize the bus system, it's workable for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If you driving around, you don't know nothing about that bus system, bro.
Yeah.
To be completely honest. Mm-hmm. So you got to start figuring out what's happening. It is tough. 832, forget your phone at home. That one's rough.
Oh, I've done that.
We just got through one of the things that was an indicator for me, which is the West Coast baseball game. Because I'm going to watch the baseball game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's
like,
a good one.
For me, I'm like, I'm going to watch the baseball game, hopefully to conclusion if I don't fall asleep on it. And so.
And for me, it's I'm planning to watch the baseball game.
That's right. That's fair. Which is 100% fair. And I guess an offshoot of that for me, especially because I'm a night owl. I'm not getting to bed before. I mean, best case scenario, I got to bed early. It's 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's 12:30, maybe even 1 is when I get to bed.
Yeah.
That I woke up early and can't get back to bed at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
you start
killer.
Rolling around, then you start thinking, okay, gotta go to sleep. Gotta go to sleep.
Yeah, man. Like, how do people get back to sleep? Because I
go
can't
sleep.
Do it.
Go to sleep.
I can't do it. So I'm just like, oh, so we're just gonna have a long day today.
Yeah.
It's gonna go forever and ever and ever.
The ever relevant from the 512, we need to talk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100. Or we need to sit down and talk.
Yeah.
When you get home, we gotta have a sit down. Mm-hmm. And I was just like,
why are we scheduling this for later?
Why can't we?
Can we just is it possible that we can do this? And if we can't do this now, tell me later.
Say it now?
Like, right, let's talk about it now. What's up?
Yeah, exactly.
Some other ones that have come in on the text line. Let me see, because again, a whole bunch of them.
Power goes out.
Oof. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a tough one. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you what made my day? Not necessarily a long day, but it didn't help in the circumstance. So clearly yesterday was Juneteenth, and I did take the opportunity to respect and observe Juneteenth. So I was not here. And shout out to Luke Morrow for filling in and filling in very well, mm-hmm. I might add. At 11 o'clock, many fire alarms start going off in my apartment complex. As I came to find out, they were testing the fire alarms.
What are we doing? I know you have to. I get it.
Right. And look, I'm happy that they test the fire alarms. Well, I mean, it makes sense, though, if you're doing that at 11, right? At least you're not doing it when people wake up. Most people, I imagine, are at work, except it's Juneteenth as an international holiday. You know what I mean? Like, the people that are going to be home might be home, you know? And it is, I will let you know, it's a very loud fire alarm.
Did you leave the apartment and everything?
After a while, I thought I was stronger than I was. If I don't hear a couple of words that you say, I understand that I'm not doing that intentionally. Somebody said, you get late for work, leave the house, lock the door, left my keys in the house. Oh,
yeah.
I've done that one before. Mm-hmm. Or like even worse, keys in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now you know you're paying some money too. Unless you know someone who has your spare. Mm-hmm. Are you give someone else your spare people?
No. Well, if you're not counting family.
Right.
Yeah. Nah. But definitely family.
I ain't got no family down here, so I ain't giving nobody else my spare.
Yeah.
Somebody said, they're a delivery driver. Going to be a long day when they drive safe, no hard stop, get to the first stop, all the packages fall over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also kind of think it's a long day when, again, like usually on the weekend, on a Saturday or Sunday, hey, let's go to pick a store, you know, Target. I know there's going to be add-ons, and I've talked about that on here before. Yeah. Like it's not just going to, it's going to be Target. Hey, since we're here, let's go to
That's right.
Oh, you know what? We also need some. Let's stop there. Hey, do you feel like picking up some lunch or something?
You're already out the house. Nah. From the 512. When my kid says I'm bored. Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah. You better find that thing. You better find.
Yes.
Take them to the zoo at that point, because you might as well. Bringing it back to sports. Texans Sunday Night Football. We'll see that. Mm-hmm. I remember just thinking about it like, all right, yes, I get to watch the early games, but that means that we are sticking through at least for us in particular, you're sticking through the late game no matter what. Then you're getting through all the post game stuff so that we could be ready for Monday.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, you about to have a long Sunday.
I think as far as like the game goes, when you see like maybe 4-3 and outs in a row from each team,
everybody's
just going 3 and out.
Those games go longer somehow too.
It's like it's about to be a long game.
Another one on sports related is when it's like a 15-minute first quarter. It never is a 15-minute second and third and fourth. You know, it's like
we had that one.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I was
what
like,
game.
Boy, that first quarter was fast. Ended up being a 4-hour game.
What game was that this year?
Which one
that I hit you with the jinx where I was like, man, that first quarter went quick. And you were like, oh, here it goes. Yeah. And it did indeed go.
By the way, quick update. It was Julie that lost her keys. She found the keys. She found the spare. But she just wants everybody to know she needs boxes because she's moving.
Oh, okay. What are your box hacks?
Get Julie some boxes, people. Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Julie? Look on Facebook Marketplace.
I've heard
there you
that.
Go.
Because sometimes that. People be giving them out for free. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of boxes for free. Or sometimes they have a bunch of boxes for like a dollar. Mm-hmm. Just $1 or whatever it is. But most of the time they giving them out for free just trying to get rid of them.
Full service show, baby.
We did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Once we had packed everything, we had a whole bunch of boxes we didn't need. We just put it on Facebook Marketplace, and somebody came and picked them up.
Yeah. Look at that. People helping people. Yeah. All right. So happy summer solstice to you. It's the longest, most sunlight you're going to get on a day in 2025. So make it a good long day for you as opposed to one of them bad ones. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where we have someone retiring, and then also a NFL legend was out here scrapping. We'll talk about it next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.